up? It's The Rant. My name is Jeff Radcliffe, and it is Friday, January 4th, and we're back. Little hiatus there. The season beat me up more than I thought it was going to this year, man. I tell you, not having a day off for 18 weeks straight. Oof. I don't recommend it, but you know what? It was a successful season. A lot of you I saw checking in on social media, taking down your leagues. So awesome there. If you're listening to this Friday late afternoon and you have a draft this evening, I do have rankings up over at FTNFantasy.com for your postseason drafts. But I did want to talk about wildcard weekend, super wildcard week. Super wildcard weekend. But I wanted to talk about that on the show today. So I'm going to break down each of these games. I am going to give you my thoughts on Prize Picks as well. I don't know if you've seen Prize Picks, but I dig this site, man. It is kind of, well, it's a hybrid between player props and DFS sort of. You're not picking anything based on salaries. It's basically a player props type game. You have to pick at least two on any play, though, so two different props. But honestly, the lines are more favorable than what you're finding on the sports books, and you get a nice edge. So if you hit two, say you put in two props, you get 2-1 on your money, and then you can go up to five different props on the same ticket. So it's pretty cool. FTNDaily.com/prizepicks for the rundown of what the site is. Go sign up through our link over at FTN, and we have free tools, including my edge tool over there, which I think you will like. Tells you which props I like the most. So we'll dive into it here. We're going to kick it off with Las Vegas heading to Cincinnati. In the Andy Dalton era, it was like, oh, Cincinnati's playing. They're going to be the first game on Saturday, and they're going to lose, right? That was what always happened. I don't know about that. Not this version of Cincinnati. This isn't your Andy Dalton, Marvin Lewis version of the Bengals. Joe Burrow rolling. I mean, in a lot of ways, he was the hero of the fantasy football playoffs. If you had him in week 16, week 17, he very likely single-handedly won those games for you, and especially if you had the Higgins stack in week 16, if you had the Chase stack both weeks, especially week 17, historically good games there. So obviously it's a really interesting spot for him. I do think he'll be fairly widely rostered in DFS this week, and it's a great week to play DFS. I'm going to play the full slate. I'll probably play some of the short slates as well, but I will play the whole six gamer here. A lot of appeal to that. Anyway, stacking him up does make sense, obviously, if you're going to roster him with Jamar Chase or with T. Higgins. I would go one or the other, but probably not both. I don't think I want to pay for both. Like, Higgins is more slightly more cost-effective, but regardless, then maybe using Tyler Boyd as well, like getting a double stack in there, that could be pretty effective this week. But either way, Higgins, 6,300, Jamar Chase, 7,400 there. In that context. So I do expect a lot of Joe Mixon, though, because while the attention has been on Joe Burrow, let's not forget, for a good stretch there, from basically week 9 to week 14, Joe Burrow was not good. He was basically unplayable during that stretch. He did face the Raiders over that span. He had 157 yards and a score. Now, Cincinnati won that game handily, largely because of Mixon, 30 carries for 123 yards and two scores. But just be aware of that. Could see a lot of Mixon here. Great matchup. Number three fantasy matchup for running backs for Bro Mixon. On the other side, for me, it all comes down to Josh Jacobs. True feature back down the stretch, especially. He's touched the ball at least 20 times in each of his last three games. Over 100 yards on the ground in two of those games, week 16, week 18. The Bengals are the number 11 fantasy matchup for running backs. So if they're going to win, he is the key to this game. Now, Prize Picks, his line is 56.5 rushing yards, and this is what I was saying about Prize Picks. Some of these lines are lower, like significantly lower in some instances, but lower than what you're going to find for a lot of the player prop lines that are out there. So here's a great, you know, prime example. If you look at Jacobs' rushing yards line is 60.5 on most sportsbooks right now. So you get 4 yards on that line, which is pretty significant. I like the over on his line there. If you're playing in one and dones, and you do think Vegas loses this one, then yes, absolutely using Jacobs here. Because win or lose, he's going to be heavily used. As far as everything else, I mean, Renfro is fine. Waller is not my favorite play of the week in that one. New England and Buffalo. This one's a 4-point spread right now for the Bills. Actually, no, you know what? It moved to 4.5, so people have been betting the Bills here. 44 over under. We saw in week 13, that was the weird weather game, where both Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson were used heavily. Stevenson actually carried the ball 24 times for 78 yards in that game. Not very efficient, but the volume was there. And if you look at the two games for Damian Harris against the Bills this season, the numbers are pretty good. 28 carries, 214 rushing yards, and 4 scores. I would expect a healthy dose of both of these guys. They will be used as, they're going to rotate series, basically. I wouldn't expect much from the passing game here. If anything, Kendrick Bourne has a nice matchup, but that's about it there. On the other side, it really comes down to, can you limit Josh Allen? And I guess the number one way you limit him is by not letting him on the field. Would expect J.C. Jackson to travel with Stephon Diggs. The last time they faced each other, Diggs did have a decent game. He had 5 for 69 and a score just on Jackson alone. Of course, didn't do much in that weird weather game of week 13. Jackson has been fantastic this season, but I still would expect a healthy dose of Diggs here. And of course, a healthy dose of Devin Singletary. You can run on New England. So Singletary's not a bad DFS play. Of course, Josh Allen, you're going to pay up for. And it really comes down to how do you view this one playing out. Ramondre Stevenson, over 36.5 rushing yards on Prize Picks. Give me that, baby. I think he's easily over that and is going to be used pretty heavily here. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll roll through the remaining 4 games on the slate. We will come back. We'll start with that first game on Sunday, which, of course, is Tom Brady and the Bucks versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Do you even remember what it's like to not have Tom Brady in the playoffs? It's almost every single year. He makes it to the postseason. You kind of set your watch to that. He's coming off of a really impressive regular season. I mean, this dude's 44 years old, and he had the third most passing yards in a single season in NFL history, and I know he had one extra game to do so. I don't freaking care. He still had 49-90 in 16 games. He had 43 passing touchdowns. Anything over 40 is incredibly good. And he just seemingly gets, it seems like he gets better. Now, this is the key. Can Philly shut him down? Now, if they shut him down, though, they also have to shut down the run game. And that is where Philly has struggled against the run game. And it does look like Leonard Fournette will be activated. I haven't seen him activated as of right now. Maybe I missed it. But he was designated to return, and that's the expectation, because Ronald Jones won't play in this one. Now, in terms of shadow coverage, Darius Slay almost certainly will be on Mike Evans. He was on him 58% of the time in week 6. Evans, he is susceptible to good coverage, not in that he's going to get shut down, in that Tom Brady's going to avoid the matchup. So that's something to watch out for. Of course, Brady has other weapons, including Rob Gronkowski, so it's going to be tough for Philly to shut the whole thing down. I don't see any scenario where Philly beats Tampa. And by the way, Eagles fans, it's not a shot at your team. It's an 8-point spread. I mean, it's really tough for Philly in this one, because they're just going to have to do too much. And honestly, they're going to have to be not only perfect on the defensive side of the ball, they're going to have to get a lot done on the offensive side of the ball. Jalen Hurts is going to have the game of his life, because you have this full-strength secondary now, Carlton Davis, Sean Murphy, Bunting, Jamel Dean, all out there. And I do expect Carlton Davis to shadow Devontae Smith. He has shadowed in 4 of his 5 games since returning from injury here, 4 of the last 5. So Smith, that's going to be tough. 53% catch rate for Davis on the season. But I do like Smith's Prize Picks line. It's 40.5 receiving yards. So I'm taking the over on that. He went over that last week with just 3 catches. I don't think he has to do that much to get over that line. But you're going to see Miles Sanders out there. You'll have the full complement of backs. I just, even in a one and done, I don't see that much of appeal to the Eagles outside of Dallas Goedert, who I like in one and done and I like in DFS because of his price point. No appeal, though, other than that. It's going to be a tough game for Philly. It's really going to be a tough game for Philly here. You know, that Tampa run defense, maybe not as good as they were last year, but they're still pretty good against the run. Let's move on to San Francisco and Dallas. This line is 3 points. I did pick San Francisco as my chalk upset of the weekend. And again, no offense to the Dallas fans out there. This isn't bulletin board material. Somebody has to win. Somebody has to lose. On the San Francisco side, Elijah Mitchell, one of the biggest fantasy surprises of the year, no doubt about it. When he was healthy, he was extremely effective for fantasy purposes, largely due to the volume. 18.8 rushing attempts per game this season, 20-plus carries in each of his last five. So I expect a lot of Mitchell here. He's a little dinged up, but he'll play. Dallas allowed the fourth fewest fantasy points per game, though, to opposing running backs. So if he... he may not have the most efficient day, but I do still expect a healthy dose of him, a healthy dose of Debo, a healthy dose of Kittle. If you don't think that they are going to win, then yeah, obviously you would be using Debo in one and done. I don't think I would actually use Kittle, believe it or not, but Debo would be a must. I like to potentially, in a game like this too, use both sides. Like, I don't think either of these teams makes the Super Bowl. That's what I think. And again, you can get mad at me all you want, but it doesn't really matter what I think when you do your lineups, right? It matters what you think. I'm pulling the curtain back and telling you how I play the game. So I'm playing a game that way, and I think neither of them make the Super Bowl. It's a high-scoring game. Why not use both sides of it in one and done? So use Dak or use... Debo in the same lineup. Dak, if you're using a quarterback, you would stack him, of course. I would stack him with CeeDee Lamb. In fact, I like CeeDee Lamb's prize picks. 57.5. That's about 4 yards below sportsbooks. I'm going over on that bad boy. Dak, like Joe Burrow, was really ineffective in the middle of the season. From weeks 11 to 15, he was number 17 fantasy quarterback. But of course, over the last 3 weeks of the season, he was the number one. Now, Burrow didn't play and week 18, but still 12 passing scores over the final 3 weeks of the season. So he could be pretty effective here as well. Moving on to Pittsburgh and Kansas City, the biggest spread here of the weekend. Right now, it's still 12.5. It's been 12.5 for the last several days. 46 over under. It's going to be really tough for Kansas City here. Now, Najee Harris is banged up. He's dealing with an elbow injury, but he is expected to play. He's listed as questionable. I almost had to do a double take. Like, I knew the volume was there, but sometimes when you put it all into context at the end of the season, it's like, holy, you know what? He did that? 381 touches in the regular season. Fantasy's number three running back. Yes, that's right. Number three on the season. All that volume is pretty beneficial. He's going to be heavily involved if he plays. Like, if you're good enough to play and it's the darn playoffs, you're leaving it all out there. Regardless of Ben Roethlisberger saying they're playing for fun, okay? Opposing backfields, 4.65 yards per carry against Kansas City. So he is a pretty interesting play here DFS-wise. One and done for sure. He's one of the chalk one and duns for me. In terms of the rest of the team, obviously you got Ben will need to pepper Deontay Johnson with targets in this one. But that secondary has been a big part of the success down the stretch here for Kansas City. So it's a tough spot for sure for Ben and company. On the other side, Clyde Edwards-Helaire will not be playing in this one. Just not enough time for him to get back and healthy. So Darrell Williams, man, ton of Darrell Williams. Now, last week was a disappointment, but week 17 against the Bengals, he had 17 touches, 107 scrimmage yards, 2 touchdowns in that game. This matchup is one of the best of the weekend. On the regular season, Pittsburgh allowed 4.99 yards per carry to opposing running backs. Yeah. 4.99, baby. That was the highest in the league. Remember when they were really good against the run last year? Not this year. One warning. If we have a game here, so it's a 12.5 point spread. Let's say that Kansas City gets out to a lead and they pound the ball on the ground, and Darrell Williams does have a big day. Let's say he goes, like, I don't know, 16 for 105 and 2 touchdowns, something like that. obviously he'd be one of the plays of the week for DFS purposes. But if he does that, it's unlikely that Patrick Mahomes has a massive day. So be aware of that. Now, Mahomes will have Tyreek Hill out there, which is good. But just be aware, I wouldn't correlate those two. I'm not playing, if I'm in building a DFS lineup, regardless of the slate, I'm not playing Darrell Williams and Patrick Mahomes in the same lineup. Just be aware of that. Prize picks, I have over 6 fantasy points for Mecole Hardman. Really, and it's PPR scoring that they use. Not going to take much for him to get up over that line. So I like that one there for Mecole Hardman. I like that they have fantasy points as one of the things you can use on your tickets. It's pretty cool. Final game, of course, Monday. I dig the Monday game. I love the fact that, you know, we get the full weekend here of this super wild card weekend. I so silly. Why do we call everything super in the NFL? Super Bowl, super wild card, super draft. I think that's something else. But anyway, the Rams are 4-point favorites here. Kyler Murray has this reputation for showing up in big games, right? He was a gamer at the high school level, gamer at the college level. This is the first opportunity he has to be a gamer in the postseason in the NFL. And, well, he has an enormous ceiling. We know that. Now, the last time he faced the Rams, 383 passing yards, but remember, it was not a good fantasy day. He kind of Derek dilemma'd us. He had no passing scores. He had 61 rushing yards, which was fine. But no passing scores, no rushing scores, so somewhat lackluster day. No DeAndre Hopkins. James Conner's up in the air, but no DeAndre Hopkins. Now, here's the thing. Zach Ertz, all right, getting up there in age, right? But since he was traded, it was week 7 that he joined the team. Get this. Only Mark Andrews, George Kittle, and Travis Kelce have more fantasy points among tight ends since then. So Ertz is my favorite tight end play of the week, both in one and duns, because I do think the Rams win this one, and in DFS. The price point is so nice for Zach Ertz in DFS. As I mentioned, James Conner, this is a tricky one. You know, if you're listening before Friday night, you have a Friday night draft, I would be very careful about James Conner. Probably not getting any Cardinals in that type of draft, to be honest with you, but I'd be very careful about him. Don't really love the question surrounding his status. Of course, that could put Chase Edmonds in a pretty interesting position in this one. By the way, no shadow expected here from Jalen Ramsey. It's your top receiving target is Christian Kirk, who's going to primarily run into the slot, so I just don't see them using him on him. If anything, we'll see some Ramsey on A.J. Green, but I don't know if he even travels with A.J. Green because they don't move. Well, they don't move their receivers, so he doesn't really have to travel. So A.J. Green's matchup's brutal. Let's just put it that way. He's going to see a lot of Jalen Ramsey. On the other side, hey, Cam Akers getting back on the field. That's amazing, but he didn't look very effective. His rushing yards prop is way too high. I saw it at 32.5 yards. Oof, way too high. And correspondingly, Sony Michel was way too low. I had it at 58.5. Way too low. This is Sony Michel's backfield. He has topped 20 carries in 4 of his last 6 games, including against the Cardinals in week 14. He had 79 yards on 20 carries. So he should have a big-time workload in this one. Now, we know Cooper Kupp will get his. In fact, Antonio Hamilton, who covers the slot, it advantage Cooper Kupp like all day long. We're going to see a ton of Cooper Kupp in this one. Odell offers some upside. He always does, but he's also comes with all that volatility. I don't mind using Stafford here. You'd stack Stafford with Kupp and pay out the you know what to do so, but there's a lot of opportunities to pay down this week, DFS-wise. Prize picks, I'm using Kyler Murray's fantasy points. I do think win or lose, he's going to be heavily involved in this game. I don't think he's going to be quiet. I don't think this is one of those games where Kyler throws for 150 yards and does nothing. So it's 18 fantasy points. I have him at over 22 fantasy points projected, so you get a nice edge on that one. And I'm going to use that. Just a friendly reminder of, you know, I throw these out there. These are what I'm doing. I would suggest you do your own research. You can, of course, use the Edge tool for Prize Picks. It's free. It's one of our tools that actually is free over at FTNDaily.com. FTNDaily.com/PrizePicks. It's all one word, Prize Picks. and you can see what the site's all about. Sign up through our link. If you don't have a sports book in your state, like you're not in a legal state, Prize Picks is a great alternative. It's not a sports book. You know, it's a hybrid style game, but highly, highly, highly recommend it. Get a little action in play, a little bit different from fantasy. All right, that's going to do it for me today. I'll have some pods next week. We're going to ramp back up here. I had to take that hiatus to start feeling like a normal human being again, but I'm there and I'm ready to roll. And it's postseason, it's draft season, it's free agent season. Oh, baby, it's on. All right, enjoy the games this weekend, and don't forget to check me out on CBS Sports Network, 9 to noon Eastern on Sunday morning. That other pregame show, we're going to be breaking down the entire slate on Sunday and, of course, the Monday game for you. Sports betting talk, fantasy talk, just football talk, all of it, all right? At Jeff Radcliffe on Twitter, and I see all you Rat Packers use that hashtag Rat Pack. That way I know you're a listener of the show. And I will catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Radcliffe, and I'm out.